Turn in your Bibles to the book of Amos. Let me tell you how to find Amos. You can find Ezekiel very easily. Then after you've found Ezekiel, there's Daniel and Hosea and Joel and then Amos. The book of Amos, chapter 4. I shall begin reading with verse 6. And read the remaining portion of the chapter. My subject is in the form of a question. It's personal. Have you made preparation to meet the Lord? Amos chapter 4, beginning with verse 6. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there was yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses. And I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his precious word. God points out through the prophet Amos that he has plagued these people with cleanness of teeth, or actually there was no food for them to clean their teeth, because the next phrase says there was a want of bread in their places. He had withholden the rain from them. He caused it to rain on one city and not upon another. And then two or three cities would wander into the same city to drink, and they were not satisfied, or there was not enough water for everyone to quench his or her thirst. He had smitten and blasted them with mildew. Their gardens and their fig trees and their olive trees and their vineyards would bring forth the fruit, and God would send the palmer worm and devour them. He sent pestilence among them, or disease, comparable to that of Egypt. Many of the young men had been slain with the sword or in battle. Their horses had been stolen. And their starvation and their stench was comparable to what's going on in Ethiopia now. Because God said, I have made the stink of your camps to come up into your nostrils. He said, I've overthrown some of you like I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And five times during these things God mentions he had done to them, there is a reoccurring phrase. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And God did not put that in the Bible five times for the sake of taking up space. Because at the close of the chapter, he tells them again one of his names. He says, I am the Lord. The God of hosts is his name. It is as if God were saying to this people, what will it take for you to return unto me? In the midst of your young men being slain, your crops being devoured, the famine that grips the land, the stench of the camps coming up into your own nostrils, God is saying, what will it take for you to return unto me? And sometimes as a preacher of the gospel, I wonder what it will take to get some people to turn to the Lord. And deeper than that, and even more burdensome than that, I wonder sometimes what it will take to get some who are backslidden and out of service to return to the Lord. I have three simple questions I want to ask and to answer. Why should men return unto the Lord? Who should return to the Lord? And how can one return to the Lord and know it? First of all, why should men turn or return to the Lord? Three simple answers. Number one, because there is just one true God. Exodus 20 and 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. James 2:19, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. That does not mean that the demons believe savingly, but it means that the devils or the demons believe and know that there is one God. In fact, when the Lord Jesus Christ healed the maniac of Gadara who lived in the tombstones and terrorized the community, he said, I know who thou art, Jesus. And I would remind you that even the devils, demons, and Satan himself knows there is but one God. In Luke 18:18 and 19, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answered and said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good save one, and that is God. And you can take it from this Baptist preacher, regardless of what the world declares, there is only one true and living God. Men ought to return to the Lord, not just because there is just one true and living God, but because all men one day must meet him. There was an exaltation one time in glory. This exaltation was of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul aptly describes it in Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verses 9 through 11. He says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him," meaning Jesus, "and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And you can rest assured that men are going to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord in this world and bow down to Him, or there is coming a day when they will acknowledge He is Lord, when it will be too late to be saved by the grace of God. Men ought to return to Him for a third reason. Those who do not will one day wish they had. Matthew 25:46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." The last chapter of Isaiah, the last verse, "And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of men that have transgressed against me, and their worm shall not die, neither shall the fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh." So friend, young person or older person, if you are not with the Lord, you need to return to the Lord. There's just one true and living God. One day you must acknowledge Him and stand before Him. And if you do not return to the Lord, there's coming a day when you will wish you had. Who should turn to the Lord? All should turn to God. Acts 17:30. The Bible says explicitly that God winked and said that all men should come to repentance. Now here is His sovereign announcement that all men should come to repentance. And that lays upon you the responsible side of it from human. And the human responsibility is that God in His sovereignty has said that all men should repent. And if you do not repent, you cannot point an accusing finger in the face of God, because His sovereignty commanded it. And that put the responsibility upon your back, and that tells me without any question that all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Galatians 3:22, "But the Scripture," not Brother Brunson, "but the Scripture," not the apostles, "but the Scripture," not the angels, "but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." All should prepare to meet God because all have sinned. All should prepare to meet God because every sinner stand guilty and condemned in God's sight. In the religious world, it is a strange phenomenon to me to know that so many people think there is coming a time when they're going to be condemned. They need to read John 3:18. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." And I can tell every believer in this church building and around the world, if you have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Himself says you are not condemned. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not, now listen to this, is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, sinner, you're not going to be condemned. You're already condemned. You're just waiting for the execution of God's judgment upon your son. The same thing applies to the wrath of God. You're not going to be in the future under the wrath of God. You're already under his wrath. John the Baptist was preaching. And in the third chapter of John, he said in the 36th verse, "He that believeth on him hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not on him shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth upon him." So all men ought to prepare, because all have sinned and all are already condemned and already under the wrath of God. And another reason that all ought to turn to the Lord is because every man, woman, boy, and girl has the same sinful nature. You may have been born in a king's palace, or in a little shack by the railroad track. And all the way in between the two extremes, in every race, in every culture, in every ethnic group, Psalm 58:3 says, "The wicked are strained from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies." And whether you believe it or not, man is not born with a good nature. Man is born with an evil nature. Totally depraved. Sinful. And that's why men need to turn to God Almighty. And yet the sociologists and the psychologists tell us that if they just had proper education, we wouldn't have slums and we wouldn't have the crime that we have. I don't believe a word of that. A thief may run by a railroad car and steal a watermelon that's being transported across the country. Give him the right training and education, and he'll steal the railroad. Amen. Education does not change man's sinful nature. Environment does not change man's sinful nature. And the greatest plea for this is the Garden of Eden. Man did not start at the bottom and come to the top, but man started out in a perfect environment of innocence, and he went right straight to the bottom. So instead of this preacher believing in the evolution of the spirituality of man, I believe in devolution. I believe he started at the top and fell to the bottom, and only God can bring man out of the pit of corruption. All need to turn to God. How can I turn to the Lord? In view of these five repetitious statements, "Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord," in view of all the atrocities that had come upon him, why in the world can't you recognize that the God who points out the faults and the failures and the sins of men is a God of mercy and a God of love and kindness, and tells us plainly how we can turn to him? It's not by merely being religious. Religiosity gives me nausea.
For religion is carrying more people to hell this morning than any other one thing. And when a man says, I've got religion, he doesn't ring a spiritual bell in my heart. There is a vast difference between religion and salvation. Matthew 7:21-23, Jesus said, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Listen to this now. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. You can join every church between here and the Hudson River. You can memorize every catechism of every religion. And you can practice religion every day. But if that's all you have, you will die and go straight to hell. Not merely being religious will get you to turn to the Lord. Not merely by doing what you think is best and what you think is right. I've had many people to tell me, and they were just as sincere as they could be, Brother Harold, I believe that if I do that which I think is right and that which I think is best for me and my family, that everything will be all right. Now that sounds good, but that's foolish. Because Jeremiah said in the 10th chapter of his book, verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We need a compass. We need a guide. We need somebody to captain the ship of our lives. We're not qualified to say what is best and what is right unless we have gone to school in the Word of God. You say, prove it. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16:25, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Identical verses of Scripture. Judges 17:6 and Judges 21:25. Listen very carefully. In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And you study the book of Judges, and you will find that those who did that which was right in their own eyes were guilty of the most blatant and flagrant sins. So you cannot turn to God by saying, I'll just do that which is best and that which is right. Now don't misunderstand me. Don't leave here and say something I didn't say. I think we ought to do the best we can. I think we ought to do right. But my whole point is, no man can know what is best and what is right until, first of all, he has turned to the Lord and knows the Lord. The unanimous proclamation of God's Word tells us that to turn to the Lord, we must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:9. Paul said, and be found in him, that is in Christ, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Acts 16:30-31, Paul and Silas are in an old salty aired Philippian jail in the lower part of the dungeon part of the jail. At midnight they pray and sing. An earthquake comes and the jailer who had beaten them drew his sword and would have killed himself. Paul said, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here," and brought them out, brought all the prisoners out, and brought them out. And the jailer said, "And sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Romans 3:24, being justified freely. Get the word freely, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I come. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no respite know? These for sin cannot atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. You got the word freely. Being justified freely. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely through His grace for the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Drop down to the 26th verse to declare at this time His righteousness, God's righteousness, that He might be just and a justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. I'm going to give you two more verses. And surely you're convinced now that the universal proclamation of the Word of God for men to turn to the Lord is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 10:32-33, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him also will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father which is in heaven." A few Sunday nights ago, a young man walked the aisles of this church. A few Sunday mornings ago, a young man walked the aisles of this church, and both confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. That was their public confession. And when they confessed Christ before men, Christ confessed them before His Father which is in heaven. And so, my friend, if you turn to the Lord, it'll not be by baptism or church membership. It'll be because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's sing, Brother Bob.
Number 254.
May we stand together, please.